Good evening, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your voice of reason and independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on Sunday, July 22nd, 2007. It is now about 8:01 Central Daylight Time. Folks, Liberty Talk Radio is your antidote to popular talk radio. Here you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, or Stalingrad. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now, before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good evening, everyone. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We do have a phone problem this evening. Our regular phone-in telephone line, the 646-652-4620, is inoperable, and we do not know why, and we have people working on it as we speak. So we'll have to do without the phone-in. You can reach us during our live broadcast through AOL Instant Messenger, and our dial-in number is STB Internet Radio. That's STB Internet Radio on AOL Instant Message. Of course, you can always send us an email at comments@libertytalkradio.com. In addition to accessing Liberty Talk Radio from our website, you may now access our broadcast from blogtalkradio.com/Liberty Talk Radio. I also encourage you to get educated on economic issues. Go to Andy Sutton's website, mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. The two is a numeric two. And you'll be informed about the not only about how to handle your money, but economic conditions that will affect your money. So it is a great website to go to. This evening, folks, we're going to do a cacophony of things. First, tonight's broadcast is going to be centered around the subject of intelligent design. The only reason why I have elected that subject is because the debates are coming up again. In fact, we're having a debate tomorrow night, Democratic debate, to be Monday evening. And invariably, the question of intelligent design is brought up. And the candidates are asked for their opinion on that subject. I'm going to save that towards the end of our broadcast, or the second part of our broadcast. But I'd like to do a couple of things first. First, I'd like to do is read a couple of emails. In fact, we have one that I love. This is the ones I love to read. It says, "Hello, I love your show. Thank you very much, Jay." He had mentioned that one of our archives of damage is, "I listen to your show, listen to any other shows, but that one." I guess he went through our entire archives. Jay, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate that. And we'll send you a T-shirt for letting us know that, okay? Just let us know your address, your mailing address, and your T-shirt size, and you got yourself a Liberty Talk Radio T-shirt. I have another email here. It's a little lengthy, but it makes a point. I haven't investigated it, so I don't know the dark side to this, but it makes a good point. This is from Monty in Pennsylvania, in Kutztown, Pennsylvania. And he said, "Why is Congress involved in investigation of steroid use in Major League Baseball? If steroid use is against the law, then the executive branch, whether it's the U.S. Attorney General, the state's Attorney General, or local law enforcement, is responsible for arresting and prosecuting anyone breaking that law, not Congress. If steroid use is not against the law, then it is absolutely none of congressional business. And why only investigate baseball players? What about painters, teachers, farmers, and factory workers? Singling out a specific group of citizens appears to be horribly discriminate and a gross violation of our liberty. I would prefer that Congress stay out of private citizens and companies' affairs and concentrate on fixing some of the problems that they are responsible for. Wouldn't it be better if they spent our tax money, funded time and effort, passing a balanced budget and reducing the growth of our mammoth federal debt that they created? And this is from Monty. Oh, I'm sorry. He's from Greenwich. Okay. Monty, thank you. That's an excellent point. Absolutely excellent point. Don't we get sidetracked when we hear something in the news and Congress gets involved? We automatically assume that the government has responsibility for that. And we go on automatic pilot, don't we? And as a result, we follow this thing all the way through. And eventually we're indoctrinated to a point where if Congress didn't get involved in it, regardless of the situation, we want to know why they don't. Monty, excellent point. I don't know much about steroid use. I don't know about the laws regarding steroid use, but your point is well taken. The next subject I want to bring up before we get to the main subject of conversation this evening is the immigration issue again. This one rears its ugly head for many reasons. It rears its ugly head because it is a bone of contention right now with the candidates that are running for presidency. It is also a bone of contention because people consider this to be a major issue, and everyone seems to be somewhat confused, angry, and very emotional. Here is a perspective. This is from Jacob G. Hornberger. He writes for the Future of Freedom Foundation, and he has an immigration commentary, and I'm going to take little excerpts from this and read this. And he makes this is an excellent point. If I wish I had him on the air this evening, because he is the epitome of what this station represents. It's thinking about what our basic rights are and who is responsible and who has the ultimate responsibility. It goes back to the principle of people having sole dominion over their own lives, and not the government having that dominion over their lives. And we can't seem to get this out of our skulls. We keep on bouncing, reverting back to a government that needs to have control over everything so that we, and then if we play by the rules, hopefully we will survive this track through humanity, okay? Here's very interesting. He says, a popular argument among advocates of immigration controls is that a nation has a right to control its borders. Now, we hear that every day. Lou Dobbs is a big one on that one, and I like Lou Dobbs. I think he's a very intelligent person. I think he made excellent commentary. But on this one, I think he is way off base. Here it says, what the advocates of control never address, however, is a related situation. If the government has the right to prevent people from coming into a country, why doesn't it have the right to prevent people from leaving the country? Doesn't control over borders connote control in both directions? You know, we never think of it that way. I mean, we only think of people coming in. What about people leaving? But he goes on to say this, and he addresses that. He said, in fact, isn't it true that the rationale prohibiting Americans on pain of fine and imprisonment from traveling to Cuba? That's true. Now we have the government controlling where we can go when we leave the country, not only who can come in. So we do have that, he says. If the federal government has the power to prevent Americans from traveling to Cuba, doesn't it have the power to prevent Americans from traveling anywhere else? Well, quite frankly, under the administrations of years past and the current administration, absolutely. The government tomorrow can dictate that Americans cannot travel anywhere in the world. Not to Canada, Mexico, Cuba, South America, Europe, Africa, Asia, Japan, no place. The government, and now we would accept that, saying, well, it's illegal to go there. Can't do that. It's an excellent point. We don't talk about this, though. And he says, of course, this brings us to the Berlin Wall, a border control that seems to make American proponents of immigration controls uncomfortable. Now, think about the Berlin Wall. What? People weren't permitted to leave Berlin, East Berlin, and go into West Berlin. Now, there's a control of a border going out. And we have some of that now because we're not allowed to leave the United States to go to Cuba. And he wants to know, where's the moral equivalence to all of this? He goes on to say, let me turn the page. If a law that prevents people from leaving a country is immoral, then why isn't a law that prevents people from entering a country equally immoral? Suppose West Berlin had constructed its own wall that ran parallel to East Berlin Wall. Would advocates of immigration controls have condemned the killing of an East German for illegally crossing the East German Wall and praised his killing for illegally crossing the West German Wall? I mean, that is an excellent point. And please, don't spare me the comments, oh, that's different. It's not different. We're talking about principles. And libertarians are principled. That is a philosophy of principle. And it goes on to say, and I'm only taking sentences here and there. It's an excellent article. I encourage everyone to read it. You can just go to the Future of Freedom Foundation, and the article is there. But the only reason that immigrants are illegally hiking across people's farms and ranches when they enter the United States is that it's illegal for them to travel normally by bus or car. The ultimate issue of immigration debate is a moral one. Our freedom to move, freedom to associate, freedom to contract, and private ownership fundamentals inherent rights or not. If so, then the federal government has no legitimate authority to interfere with them. In principle, let's say, if not, then the immigration controllers have the burden of showing how their position conflicts in principle with that of East Germans, Cubans, and for that matter, the North Koreans, who are not surprisingly tightly control the movements of people into and out of their nation. Folks, when are we going to get it through our minds as a peoples that we control dominion over our own lives? The Constitution says that this is a government for, of, and by the people. That means we are the government. If I want to go to Mexico, I will go to Mexico. If a Mexican wants to come here, they can come here. What difference does it make when you think of it? What's the moral equivalent of someone being born here and then they're automatically a citizen, or someone who lives just a few miles away, crosses the border, and lives in the same town, doing the same type of work? Why is that person any different? Now, if we want to get on the moral high ground here and get on our high horse at the same time, we should be asking the American Indians permission to stay here. Now, if we wanted to be honest with us about the whole thing, that's what we would do. If we want to be honest with ourselves, we would ask the American Indians permission to stay here. This immigration issue really has got me just embroiled. Like I said last week, I went to factories with my company. They needed my help with some technical stuff. And I reluctantly went, but I went. And most of the factories had a preponderance of non-English speaking people. Let me put it that way. I don't want to pick on any particular nationality. And they worked in tough conditions. I mean, it wasn't brutal or anything like that, but some was seemed brutal to me. It was hot and humid and laborious and just very difficult work. Work we wouldn't do. And yet, we're going to force these people, who are the only people willing to do this type of work, to go back to the place where they were born, because that's where they belong. I got a real problem with that. I got a real problem with all of our thinking. And I don't think it's getting any better. When you listen, if you get to listen to the debates on tomorrow evening, keep that in mind. See if that resonates with you. If this doesn't start making some sense, see if you can just put these words, you know, these principles in a corner. Keep them inactive for a while if it annoys you too much. But just keep them inactive for a while but keep them there. Don't discard them right now. But bring them out at the right time and say, does that really make any sense? we are building a wall between the United States and Mexico. What is the difference between that wall, the Berlin Wall, and right now the DMZ? Absolutely none. Think about it. Okay, what I'd like to talk about a little bit, and we will have about 15 minutes only, and I probably won't even take that long on the subject. And it's one of my least favorite subjects, and that's the subject of intelligent design. It's my least favorite subject because it steps on everyone's toes. Because when you talk about intelligent design, people automatically get emotionally entrapped into this subject and start saying, he is going to talk about my God, as if someone owned a God. And from that point forward, it's very difficult to get some rational thinking, because we shut down. Because remember, religion by its very essence is absolute. Everything in religion is absolute. No one says that our religion believes in this. Sometimes, but not all the time. It's always, it's absolute. There's never proof that in any religion, any of the things that they espouse actually ever happen. It's a belief system, and that's why they call it a belief system, though they don't know. But they don't know, but it is absolute. All right, now, I'm laying the groundwork there so we don't have too many people hanging up on me or clicking off before I get started. I'm bringing this up, again, because it's most likely going to be asked during the debate to those running for the office of President of the United States. Quite frankly, I don't think there's anyone. The only one that I think is halfway qualified on the Democratic side is Gravel from Alaska. I like that guy. I mean, he's kind of nutty, but that's what we need. We need someone with some spunk and an independent thinker. Don't necessarily agree with everything he has to say on principle now, not because of him, but on principle, because libertarian principles is my thing, as you know, and that's what I live and abide by. But he is one who's really starting to tackle the institution, and I like that. Now, they're going to ask a question about intelligent design and whether or not it should be taught in school. Now, when they say that, they don't mean just in school in any class. They want it taught in concert with evolution, with scientific theories. All right, now, I wish they wouldn't ask the question, and this is why I wish they wouldn't ask the question. First of all, it's none of the government's damn business what schools teach, because there's a separation of church and state, and there should be a separation of government and schools. All right. That being the case, I know the schools are owned by the government, they're run by the government, but we do have a separation of church and state. That at least has been documented, and it's been confirmed by the courts. Right, and so the government doesn't come in and say, this is what you have to teach in school relative to a religious belief, and this is what you should teach as relative to religious belief. Now, once we talk about intelligent design or creationism, it's both exactly the same, folks. Don't let anyone mislead you. Exactly the same. Then we have a religious belief, and we're asking for a religious belief to be taught in school. Now, what happened to our separation of church and state? If I was running for office, I said that violates the principle of separation of church and state. It's a non-issue, should never be brought up. Don't ask it again. All right, put that aside, because that's never going to happen. But that should be the answer. But think about this. Religion is absolute. In other words, religion said that God said this. He didn't say about this. He said these exact words, and that's it. And when you're a kid, you memorize it, and that's gospel forever. It doesn't come out 20 years later and say, well, he said this, but we're going to throw a comma in. We're going to throw in these three words here. We're going to change this from green to blue, and now this is the updated version. It's absolute. That's what he said 3,000 years ago. That's what he said. That's it. Guaranteed. No questions asked. No debate. The reason why I bring that up is that This is what they want taught in science class. Now, if the school had a comparative religion class, then it would be appropriate to bring in what the different religions believe about different things. Most schools don't have comparative religion classes, which I wish they would, because I am absolutely convinced the absolutism of religion would dissipate in America, and it should, would dissipate in America once people were exposed to all of the religions and they realize they're all saying basically the same thing, they're singing the same tune, they have the same principles, but they all have their own versions. And if one is right, there's 90,000 that are wrong. And once you start thinking critically about it, you realize that a man-made religion cannot be a right religion. They cannot be any one right religion, because that denies everyone else in the world, the 99,000 other religions, their religion. And that's not right. Now, I don't care what religion anyone is. I'm just saying that you, by virtue of its absolutism, you discount everyone else. Now, here's where I'm going regarding scientific inquiry. What is a theory? Well, theory is exactly that. It's something that's a premise that is being supported by scientific evidence and to the best of knowledge that they have on that subject and the evidence that is presented, they come up with a theory saying there's a possibility or a high probability or low probability of this event taking place this way, and we present this evidence to support it. That theory goes before a peer review and of other scientists, and they look at it. Now, is this perfect? No, it's not perfect. Science is not perfect. Nothing is perfect. Right? They look through it to see if it has some validity, if the hypothesis was thought through properly and it follows all of the fundamental scientific principles, whatever. Right? If they say, well, there's a possibility. This theory has a likelihood of being correct under these conditions. Now, stay with me for a second. It could be that just a few months, weeks, days, years, or whatever after that, someone takes that theory, and after conducting some further research, they develop some further information. They have new discoveries, right? They have this discovery, and they add to it, and it changes the theory. They go back to the scientific community for peer review. And they go, ha-ha, we've learned that, you know, they don't do this, the atoms react this way, or whatever the case may be, ba-boom, ba-boom, boom. And they look at it, and they do, you know, tests, double-blinded tests to test the theory out. And if it is, then they add it, and they say, fine, now that theory has changed. Now, there's a reason why I'm saying all of this. Because, see, the theories change. As evidence is being presented, theories change. And that's what is done in scientific communities. In the scientific community, we are asked to think. Just like in this radio station, you are asked to think. You are not being asked just to believe. Don't believe me. Please think. And I ask all of my listeners that if you think that I am a total crackpot, and you may be correct, all right, at this stage in my life, you know, write to me and tell me, but tell me why. Please don't write and say, you're stupid, you know, you have no brains, you don't know what you're talking about, you make no sense. Well, that's fine, and you're probably right, but tell me why. Make whatever you write to me a scientific observation, and allow me to respond to it, and I will not get upset. In fact, I appreciate everyone's email, good, you know, the good, bad, and the ugly. Now, and I wouldn't have the station unless I could take that, and I did really want that. Now, that being said, what would happen with a program within the religious community, within a religion? Would the religion tolerate being subjected to peer review? Well, we all know the answer to that. Absolutely not. Because it wouldn't pass muster, basically. but more so what religion, a belief or any belief, does not do is it never changes. They have a belief, this is what happened because of some supernatural thing, supposedly 3,000, 5,000 years ago, whatever the case may be, and it's still true today. It is not subject to change. It's not subject to review. It's not subject to critique. It's not subject to anything. Now, I have no problem with that. If a person elects to believe that, that is a person's right. They have sole dominion over their own lives. They can believe whatever they want. They can believe that we were brought here by frogs from Mars. I don't care what they believe. That's for them to tackle with themselves. But don't take that belief and put it in a science class and say, well, this is an alternative. Well, once you put it in a science class, you better be prepared to go before scientific investigation, a peer review, a critical analysis, right? Write a hypothesis, all that stuff, and then be willing to change it as information is derived on that subject. Now, if religion will not do that, and they won't, they'll say, oh, no, we'll do this, and as, you know, depending on the peer review, if they say it is a little bit outlandish, it most likely is this way rather than that way, we'll change our religion. Ain't going to happen, folks. And because it's not going to happen, it doesn't belong in the science class. And I really wish that those people who are running for office would say that. And say, we don't care what anyone believes. We want our populace to be critical thinkers. If they want to believe in a God, that is fine. If they want to believe in their own mind and heart that God went poof and bingo, here we are. You know, the whole world is here and fish are floating around and all this other good stuff. And it's done in 7 days or whatever. Fine. But don't contaminate that thinking in the scientific community. Put it in comparative religions. Now, you notice they will never, 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 did I say never enough, request that intelligent design be discussed in comparative religions, because that's where most people lose their faith. Because they realize, hey, I've never been exposed to all these religions are the same or slightly different and whatever. And a lot of people who take those classes start questioning their own religion. And there's one thing you can't do is question your religion. If you cannot question your religion, it does not belong in a scientific class and doesn't belong anything near the scientific community. Okay? Enough said on intelligent design. Hopefully that's the last time I have to discuss that, because I'm going to get a lot of angry calls on this one. Usually I do. Okay? All righty. This is the... believe it or not, this is the end of tonight's broadcast, isn't it already? Here we go. Wow. This went quickly. I'm sorry we had no call-in today. We lost our phone lines. I'm going to find out what happened during the week. Our next broadcast will be Thursday morning, 6:30. That would be Thursday the... Geez, what's it say? This is the 22nd? It'd be the 26th. Thursday, July 26th, 6:30 a.m. will be our half-hour broadcast, and hopefully our phones will be fixed by then. Okay? And this is the end of this evening's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support. We'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Or phone in your questions, this is after the live broadcast, obviously, to 903-551-2186. And we'll try to answer your questions during our next broadcast. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you are striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there is no middle ground. Until next time, stay well, stay tuned.